To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
News, traffic, and the latest from the world of sports. This is Rush Hour Sports on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Guys, welcome into Monday on Rush Hour Sports here on KMOX. Bernie Miklas, Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler. Playing a little Guns N' Roses today, given the announcement that they're going to play at Busch Stadium this summer coming up in August. So a little tip of the cap to the guys, even though live performances leave a little to be desired these days. I have to make a hard decision come August to see if that's going to be a part of my concert-going summer. Good to be with you guys. We got a lot to do.
They have a complicated relationship with the city of St. Louis.
They made up for that a few years ago. It's like 8 years ago when they were in and they played at the Dome, and they made jokes about it and apologized, so it was all right. And by they, I mean Axl Rose, because he's a psycho. yeah, it was a little bit of an international incident, if you don't remember it. Everybody here will remember it, though. Guys, we got a lot to do today. You know, I will say this, just to start, we're going to do a lot of baseball here at the beginning. We'll talk about Mizzou as we go. But Bernie, you made me laugh when we were texting. Like, man, we got to get some stuff going. This is the worst part about the baseball offseason, is that you have this lag. And I know why. I get it. I'm not saying you have to, you know, like, you have to make any major changes. But it sucks so much compared to other offseasons, because it's just like you get a month and a half of like, here's a minor move here and a minor move there.
Yeah, some other teams are you know, making moves already, but and we know that Chaim Bloom's going to be active. The Cardinals better be active after all this talk about everyone's available, basically. But yeah, I don't know what it is, man, but I just lose patience with it.
I do too.
I think part of it, guys, is that I spend too much time in my workspace at home and checking various sites, including the ones, these aggregator sites that regurgitate every rumor. It's almost like like World War III just started.
Yeah.
And I just get burned out on it. Like, we were talking about it, you know, in the text before the show, and I was kind of making fun of it. You know, okay, great. Ken Rosenthal, whomever, you know, well, the Pirates are interested in three Cardinals, you know. All right, great. Tomorrow there'll be another rumor where another team is, you know, is interested in, eight Cardinals. I mean, it's just everybody try to get the clicks, man. I get it. But it just gets monotonous.
Yeah, we did actually have a bit of a transaction with the Cards. It's not a big one. Derek Gould had it, and obviously we were talking about this on Friday with the non-tender deadline and all that. But Matt, it sounds like Joel Pozo's coming back on what would be a minor league deal, frees up a 40-man spot, but keeps him in that role that you described so well last week when we talked about it, which is your depth-slash-insurance piece with a lot of young guys, some uncertainty, and maybe trade possibilities.
Yeah, so last year he came in, and his job was to be the veteran AAA catcher, to be alongside of Jimmy Crooks and provide emergency backup at the major league level. He did that. They needed him because of injuries, and he certainly did a respectable job at the major league level. I think he comes back in the exact same role. He's somebody that can go be at AAA with Leonardo Bernal, However, the one added thing here is there's a lot of uncertainty with Ivan Herrera. They're going to give him the opportunity to try to catch again, but there's no guarantee that that's going to work. So if all of a sudden you get into spring training and it just becomes clear that you cannot trust Herrera behind the plate, that his throws down to second are not any better, you feel like his lower body is starting to get sore again where it's going to lead to injuries, well, if you pull the plug on Herrera as a catcher, and let's say also at the same time, maybe you traded Pedro Páez in the offseason, it provides a little bit of protection. So I think it's a really good move to bring him back. I was a little surprised it happened this fast because I thought maybe him and his representation would look around a little bit longer to see whether or not there was a guaranteed big league deal out there for him. Maybe they knew right away that that just wasn't going to be his market. So he comes back to a place where he's comfortable, and I would say there's a good likelihood that we see Joel Pozo in the big leagues at least for some time at some point this upcoming season.
Do you guys think that this move in any way foreshadows a Páez trade, or is that jumping to a conclusion that's premature?
I would say that it doesn't necessarily foreshadow it, but it kind of allows it. If some, you know, like say you're talking about other deals and another team goes, man, you know, we would really love to add a catcher too. And maybe it's Crooks too. Maybe, I mean, he could be a guy with value just like Páez. Páez is more of the known commodity and an elite defender, but Crooks is also a guy that a lot of teams would love to have, a left-handed hitting catcher who had success at AAA, who's pretty good behind the plate, and you can afford to move him long-term because you've got Bernal waiting, who just won the Gold Glove in the minor leagues, and then you got Raniel Rodriguez down the pipeline before that. And actually, I'm leaving a guy or two out. They've probably got a catcher, they have a catcher in between those two guys in terms of the developmental scale. So I just think it gives you the freedom to do it, but you don't have to. Although I will say, five catchers between major leagues and AAA is pretty crowded if that's the way it ends up.
I think this is all holding space, just holding space.
Yeah.
Until Raniel Rodriguez is ready. And I say he's in a fast track and he's 18 years old and people say, okay, you know, spare me of the hype and all that stuff. One of the leading prospect analysts at Baseball America, which I trust, it's like the Bible when it comes to prospects. He was saying in a chat that he thinks there's a good chance that Raniel Rodriguez will be one of the top 10 prospects in all of baseball.
Yeah.
At this time next year, or even during the season. He's that good, and he's just wowed everybody. So everyone's just basically, they're sitting at the table until the big man shows up,
yeah.
And then they're all going to be backups.
I mean, when you think about what we saw from Rodriguez, and yeah, he's young, but that's the point. He doesn't turn 19 until January. So an 18-year-old reached high A. Granted, it was a cup of coffee at high A, but in 84 games, hit 20 home runs, 22 doubles, and walked almost as often as he struck out at 18, playing full season ball for half of his season. That's legit, and that's probably why you're getting that level of excitement. The only question down the road probably is it, do you want to keep him behind the plate with that kind of bat? And does his defense merit it? Because if the defense merits it, well, of course you do, but if the defense is even middling, man, a lot of teams would say, let's say that guy's a first baseman or that guy's a DH or whatever. But I'd leave him back there as long as I could because that spot's invaluable.
I think if they would move him to another position, he's the type of kid. Rob Raines wrote a great piece on him during the baseball season. And the Cardinals people down, you know, in the system, they just rave about this guy's work ethic.
Man, like, love
he's
that.
Got some, yeah, just rave about. He's the first guy there, last guy to leave. Never wants to leave, always wanting to work with somebody. So I guess it's a candidate for a position change. But then again, I mean, other than the injury risk, I just think the position is changing.
I think
it gives your team a huge plus if you've got a catcher that's going to catch 80, 90 games, even at minimum.
Correct, yeah.
As an impact hitter. I worry that we as fans and media, and I was guilty of this last year with Páez, where we get so fixated on defense. It's like we're all living in the 1960s or something. No, let's celebrate the fact that you have catchers who may not be all that great defensively.
Yeah.
But I think they more than make up with it what they do at the plate.
If you're elite, for sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
I was more bothered by Yvonne Herrera's lack of availability than by his defensive prowess. And he was not a very good defensive catcher. I'm not trying to put lipstick on a pig here.
But you don't want him on the injured list.
Right. He couldn't stay healthy as a catcher. So that's the thing that tells me, hey, get this guy from behind the plate. Is it frustrating in the moment when he throws something out to center field or he barely gets it to, you know, just has a terrible throw to second? Yes, in the moment, it's not good. I'm not running away from that whatsoever. But if you're a guy that's putting up all-star offensive numbers the way Yvonne Herrera does, in the big picture, I can take a step back and accept the not-so-great defense. What I can't accept is a lack of availability.
Yeah, really good way to put it. Yeah, got to have those guys on the field. All right, more baseball coming your way in a couple of minutes. This may or may not be a direct Cardinals-related topic, but it's interesting, and I'll throw it out there as the tease. But there's some buzz out there from legitimate people about teams in the free agent market thinking about Ryan Helsley as a starting pitcher. And I kind of find the idea fascinating. We've seen this happen recently with other guys who were minor league starters and then had their first good run of success in the majors as relievers, but then move back and do well at it. We'll talk a bit about that scenario coming up next here on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon.
Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's Monday on Rush Hour Sports here on KMOX. Bernie Miklas, Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Baseball early, and we'll mix in some Mizzou and a couple other things as we go along. And shifting the topic, guys, and Bernie, you mentioned this in a text. This was an interesting storyline over the weekend, and it's not surprising because this has been a trendy thing in recent years in baseball. In fact, one of the rumors is that the Padres may try something like this with Mason Miller, who they got from the A's. But there are reports now from legitimate people saying that there are teams interested, contending teams interested in Ryan Helsley potentially as a starting pitcher, which I find fascinating. I mean, you know the stuff is there. He was a starter in the minors. Not a great one, but he's also better now. It was okay. Don't get me wrong. But
I'm going to have a word with you about
that. That's all right. Well, I mean, I guess we might have to define what great is.
Well, I'll give you some numbers if you want them.
Well, let's have them because I like the idea, and I also like the idea for a lot of teams where, hey, worst-case scenario, if it doesn't work, you got a guy that can pitch in the late innings.
Okay. Now, about his performance as a starter in the minor leagues, let's start with this. minor league stats can be deceiving.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
They can be misleading. They're not gospel. But I got to tell you, when I did the research on Ryan Helsley's record in the minors as a starting pitcher, it took all relief work out of it. I was actually like, wow, you know. So anyway, let me go over this really quick. Apologize. 69 starts, 350 innings. His individual win-loss record was 27-10. His ERA was 2.74. He allowed an average of 6.3 hits per nine innings. He gave up 0.48 homers per nine innings. His strikeout rate was 26.3%. His walk rate was a little high, about 8.5%. Really good strikeout walk ratio, really good whip. That's a hell of a profile, if you ask me. That's really good pitching.
Yeah, I think the knock was he's like four inning starter, but they also didn't get, you know, they had a need in the majors, so they never built up to the what you would do for a guy that they get to that level, right? Because teams are typically careful with guys in the minors.
They're probably being a little careful with them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And his final year in the minors, he made two starts in 2019 for Memphis, but they moved him to the bullpen because they knew they were going to put him in the majors real soon, which they did in the bullpen. I think he pitched very, very well in that situation. So, anyway.
Yeah, all that, add that to the mix. I think it's a fascinating idea. So,
and by the way, that what I gave you, 69 starts, 350 innings. That's an average of over five innings per start. And I'm not saying this makes the guy Bob Gibson, but I'm just saying he probably could have gone deeper. I think they're probably being careful with him, which was smart.
Yeah. It's a good time for him to try it as well. And to your guys' point, we saw this happen with Jordan Hicks when he left. Clay Holmes is another guy that he moved on, and the Mets made him into a starter. I think if you're Ryan Helsley, right now is the greatest opportunity to possibly do that, especially if you go to a team on a one-year deal, maybe with a team option or a player option or something connected to it, because he probably is not probably he. I think there's interest in him as a relief pitcher. I don't think what happened in New York was going to completely tank his value or anything like that. But at the same time, he's not coming off a dominant year as a relief pitcher. So if there's a moment in time to actually try this out at the major league level, because if it works, then all of a sudden your earning power as a pitcher is so much greater as a starting pitcher than even as a high-end relief pitcher. Now's the moment to go ahead and try this if you're Ryan Helsley.
I would think that Helsley would want be enthusiastic about it. He has said in the past that he loved being a starter. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing. If you're looking at where he fits into the free agent market among, you know, relievers, his stock is way down after he got blown up when he was a Met, and also just this whole thing about tipping pitches that's been a problem for a while. But if you look at I had a thing on this, and I'm trying to find it, and I apologize. You know, if you look at you kind of look at the advantage with him. He's in an overcrowded relief market. There are a bunch, and I mean a bunch of right-handed relievers available, and there are a bunch of left-handed relievers available. And there are many guys available that had a better year than he did last year. In fact, he was tied among right-handed relievers last year, okay? He was tied for 25th in wins above replacement. I mean, he just really didn't provide much value. So this is the type of thing where he could probably get a better deal as a starter, because there's a million relievers out there that anybody can.
And there aren't many starters, right? I mean, how many starters are out there that have his stuff? One?
Very few.
Two? And, you know, you look at what Jordan Hicks got. Jordan Hicks got, what, 5 years at $12-something million dollars a year? I mean, Helsley has had a way better track record as a major league pitcher than Hicks had.
Helsley, you know, listen, the tipping pitches thing is a concern. And number two, his four-seam fastball is garbage, absolute garbage. I mean, they hit it for – and that's the pitch that he was tipping. They hit it last year for 444 average and a slugging percentage over 600. So he's got to get that fixed before anyone's going to offer him $13, $14, $15 million a year on a short-term contract. They better be confident that the tipping pitches thing is behind him. But I just think what I'm trying to say, I think this idea has merit.
Yeah,
and
totally agree.
And I don't know how many, and I think even the Cardinals would even take a look at it. But let me throw this in too, and I apologize. The only reason to bring him back is if Heim Bloom and his group believe it's all about baseball, and they believe that this could work.
Yeah.
And they feel strongly about it. The last thing they will do, they're not going to do it. And the last thing they should do is do something like this for sentimental reasons, because
oh, no.
we live in a town that is absolutely fixated and obsessed with former Cardinals. You got to bring guys back if they're going to be really good for your team. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if I'm another team, I can look at his previous major league history and go, yeah, teams hit 220 against his fastball 2 years ago and 250 the year before with no power. Like I can see the path to it if I'm another team and I'm saying, our guys can improve that. And if I'm a team that wants him in this, I don't want him on a one-year deal. I want 3 or 4 years. I want to have that chance at having a good price on a starting pitcher for a period of time. And then if it doesn't work, I know I'm paying a lot, but I also know that he had 49 save season and could maybe close for me if things don't go well.
Right. That's the fallback. That's right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
I would like the Cardinals to do that. There's no organization that knows him better than the Cardinals, so I feel like there's already a built-in advantage if they're going to be the team that's going to convert him back into a starting pitcher. Garland makes a good point on the stream, says he needs more than two pitches. He's got more than two pitches, but being able to expand that repertoire and being able to throw more than two pitches consistently. And you also have to remember, when you're a relief pitcher, sometimes you only have two pitches because there's no reason to throw your third or fourth best pitch when you're in a one-inning stint, where it's a different approach when you're a starter.
Yeah, I mean, when you throw 100 with a wipeout slider that opponents hit 140 against and slug 206 against, you don't need anything else. You throw those two things. But, yeah, he had a curveball that was pretty good when he used it, and he added a cutter that we didn't see very much. So it'll be interesting, no question about it. All right.
The only thing real quick, I would say, I know the Cardinals know him better than anybody. I agree with Matt Pauley, and I know Helsley likes being a Cardinal. Why couldn't the Cardinals detect and fix that flaw
in terms of him?
I think that's a legitimate question to ask.
Totally agree. Bernie Miklas, Matt Pauley, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Rush Hour Sports picks back up after the news on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, it's Monday on Rush Hour Sports. Bernie Miklas, Matt Pauley, Kevin Wheeler with you here. We'll obviously be doing heavy baseball. The heavier the news gets here in the off season, but we still got something for you every day. Let's switch over to Mizzou, guys. You know, a lot of that game went the way we talked about it on Friday. You know, Mizzou defense did a great job. The Oklahoma offense was challenged. So, therefore, you know, throughout a lot of the game, Mizzou was in the game. But Same story, Byrne. When you're facing the top teams, it's really hard for these guys to score points.
Mizzou hadn't won there since 1966, so now they've now lost 19 in a row in Norman. You got to go in there with an attitude, an edge. You got to go in there with the feeling like, listen, we're not going to tiptoe. We're not going to like settle. We're going to go for it. We got a chance to get a touchdown. We're going to go for it. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to let it all hang out. So what happens? They have the momentum in the game, and it's 3-0 early, and they got the ball, and they're driving again. They have a 4th-and-3. Drinkwitz keeps the offense on the field. Brent Venables, the Oklahoma coach, looks at it and basically says, yeah, let me see if I can get into this guy's head. And he calls a timeout to, like, look at what Mizzou was doing. Drinkwitz gets all nervous, and he puts his field goal unit on the field, which is incredibly stupid because his field goal unit is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They almost blocked the first one because there was a gap in their protection, and they never closed the gap for the second field goal attempt,
mm-hmm.
which Oklahoma zoomed through and blocked it. I mean, why are you going into Oklahoma and tiptoeing when your team at that point's got the momentum? And then after that little episode, what was it? 3-4 plays later, it's off to the races, and all of a sudden, you know, Oklahoma's up.
Game changes.
Game was over because the Mizzou offense, that team was rattled after that. And that offense, they don't have a passing game, period. Period. They don't.
It's frustrating. There's a lot of things that are frustrating about Mizzou. I think what's especially frustrating is the fact that they can be, and this has a lot to do with who they're playing. Like they went on the road to a top 10 team, a team that's likely to be in the college football playoff. There is nothing easy about that. But going from a week where you score 49 points to a week that you score 6, and they were each SEC games. I mean, Mississippi State isn't great, but they're not a bad football team. I'm just, it's very frustrating, the Jekyll and Hyde nature of who this team is from an offensive standpoint.
Got to throw the football, man. In college football, you are not going to win if you can't throw the football. Period, the end. I mean, you can be more of a running team, right? We've seen some Ohio State teams that probably run a little more than they throw. They're not like, you know, spread offense. But if you can't throw, you can't win in college football against top competition.
Well, that's right. And listen, first of all, in the last 3 seasons, Drink has won 14 SEC games. The teams that they've beat have a combined 27-83 record. That's a .245 winning percentage. So they can slap those teams around, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is when they run into some defenses, as they have, that can shut down the run, they don't have anywhere to go. Let me just read you this really quick. This is in SEC games only this season, and Bo Prabula has taken like 71% of the dropbacks. Mizzou ranks last in completion percentage, last in the SEC in adjusted yards per pass attempt, last in touchdown pass percentage, last in passer efficiency rating, 14th in interception rate, on and on and on and on. It is the worst passing attack in the SEC. Now, how are you going to beat the best teams when you can't throw the football?
You're not.
And they haven't been able to throw the football with skill since 2023, because it wasn't all that hot last year, and it's really bad this year. I'm sorry, Matt.
No, that, I was just agreeing with you. You're 100% right. And Kevin said it. They have to find a way to be able to throw the football more often. They have to have a way to have more of a deep threat. We thought maybe we're seeing that a little bit with Zollers, but it was just too soon for him. I think we can still be really excited about what it's going to look like with him moving forward. But it's simple. The equation to win college football games at a high level is simple, and Missouri's not doing it. And oh yeah, by the way, against Oklahoma, they didn't run the ball that effectively either. Hardy ran it 17 times, 57 yards, averaged less than 3.5 yards per carry. So it's not even like it was a day where they couldn't throw the ball, but they had some success on the ground. No, they didn't. They did nothing offensively.
Yeah, and let's talk more about the quarterback specifically, like what they do there in the next segment. But okay. I think they have their offensive design confuses me. When you have this many playmakers and you can't find ways to get guys running drag routes underneath, I'm not talking about their line's not good enough to sit back and read the defense and find the seam down the middle. But you have an elite tight end You have at least two, probably three high-end receivers, two of them really good. Two of them look like they can play on Sundays at some point, whether they're high draft picks or not, look like they could be on NFL rosters. How are you not able to, and you have the running backs. How can you not scheme something? I'm not talking about 40 points against Oklahoma, but how can you not scheme something that's a little quicker, that's not going to put your quarterback in a bad position?
No, absolutely right. No question about it. And yeah, that's been their weakness.
And that's the part that makes it hard for me is, and this is, by the way, you said it well earlier, Bernie, during DGS. Not trying to run drink off. We're just trying to make a point here that you, as a head coach, you have to see what's not working and you have to fix it. So if you have an offense that's 2 or 3 years in a row not good enough, you either need a new coordinator or you need to free up your coordinator or you need to come up with some new ideas about how to do things, because what you're doing is not going to work against, and you're in the SEC, man. There aren't many easy wins in the SEC. It's not the Big 12 anymore.
Well, first Eli Drinkwitz is Eli Drinkwitz is the reason we're having this conversation, and it's actually from a positive standpoint.
Correct.
He has lifted.
Yeah.
He has lifted this program to a point where we can sit here and expect better things and expect better results, and for this team to do all these things that we expect them to do. So, yeah, when we have these conversations about what can you do better, I don't actually think that's us taking shots at Eli Drinkwitz. I think that's us saying, hey, this is a guy who's lifted the program, and we are now expecting them to do certain things.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But listen, not to oversimplify it, because everything you guys have said is true and I agree with, but his best quarterback since he became the coach 6 seasons ago is Brady Cook, who was recruited by Barry Odom. Now, Drink came to Mizzou with this reputation, this great offensive mastermind or whatever. Well, how come he hasn't been able to identify, sign, develop, all those things, a high-impact quarterback that would give them much more impact than offensively in the SEC? Now, maybe Matt Zollers can evolve into that guy. I hope so. But if you think about it, that is a pretty bad reflection on the coach. That his best quarterback is a guy that Barry Odom got for him, basically, and left for him. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, good point. Let's talk about that position for our last segment. And I'll present it to you this way. Do you have the freedom to just go ahead and see if Matt Zollers can be the guy next year, or do you need to buy a quarterback? And because if you're not good at developing them, maybe you need to find one that's already developed and just plug him in. We'll kick that around coming up next here on KMOX. All right, get ready to wrap up Rush Hour Sports. After this, by the way, Monday Night Football on KMOX. We'll have the pregame for you to start things off. It's Carolina in San Francisco, so the Panthers and the 49ers on Monday Night Football here on KMOX. All right, let's finish out that conversation on Mizzou, guys. You know, Bernie, you outlined it so well that Mizzou has had such a hard time under Drinkwitz developing a quarterback to be the next guy. Maybe it's more practical to trust buying one, whether it's from a group of five or wherever you can find one that's played some. And I say this, by the way, as a University of Miami alum, who a school that hasn't developed a quarterback in years, but they put out winning teams because they go buy quarterbacks every year.
Absolutely. And listen, here's an example. No, they have to go buy a quarterback unless they're 100% convinced Zollers is going to be the guy. But here, can I just throw one more stat in here?
Please.
Okay, what's the one thing that Mizzou did very, very well for a lot of their games? Not all their games. They ran the football.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmad Hardy got all kinds of attention. He was a national story. Jamal Roberts, very, very good.
Yep.
So they went into every game where the other side is thinking, we got to stop the run. We got to stop the run. We got to stop the run. Have they ever heard of the play action pass down there? Is that a new thing where you fake the handoff to the back, which freezes the pass rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw it. You know, they completed 48% of their play action passes last in the SEC this year, also averaged 2.1 yards per attempt on play action. You know how many yards they had all year in play action passes? 187.
Oh,
in SEC games.
That should be where you get big plays.
With those running backs?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. See, that might be the number one indictment about how incompetent this offense is. The design, to your point.
And just going back to the quarterback thing as well, I don't mean to be a smart aleck here. Didn't we think that's what they were doing this year with Pribula?
He hadn't played, though. Like, I'm talking about getting someone at a smaller school who's been a starter, who's got 15, 20 games under their belt.
Like Joey Aguilar at Tennessee.
Him going there, like Diego Pavia going to Vanderbilt, right?
Okay.
So, like, Cam Ward going to Miami. Cam Ward had started 35 or 36 games before he ever walked on campus. Now, again, you're not getting that guy, I don't think, not unless you got $5 million to throw at a quarterback. But there are plenty of guys who are playing at lower levels of schools who play and have talent. And, like, we've seen, I think, and I don't know if you guys agree, experience has mattered maybe more than ever, with a few exceptions. You know, Saiyan at Ohio State has been great, but he's also surrounded by great talent, and it's a team that does develop quarterbacks. So there's not, it's not 100%, but boy, when you're in doubt, the guys that have game action under their belts are really helpful.
But even a year earlier, Ohio State went to Will Howard, who had been a longtime starter.
Right, right. And he was,
yeah,
good point.
So that's
good point.
Yeah.
All right, we solved it, guys.
It's a tough, tough position, and there's no easy answers. Like you guys said, unless they're going to pay $4 or $5 million to bring a guy in, but that's going to be the cost of doing business. And by the way, we still don't know whether Drinkwitz will be their coach or not.
That's a good
still
point.
Still up in the air.
Yeah,
after some of these offensive trends, if I'm a fan of Florida, you know, LSU, Penn State, Auburn, I'm like, what? Why, they can't throw the ball. Why would we want to hire this guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, and Florida's already had problems developing their own quarterbacks, and they're getting top recruits.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. It's going to be a fascinating offseason in that regard. And the Penn State job, obviously, is off the board now, and that was one that made quite a bit of sense. It'll be interesting to see what LSU does. Of course, it's all about Lane Kiffin now, and that won't be decided until after this week is over at the very earliest. So we sit back and wait and hope that the good moves are coming. And maybe that's, you know, we're out of time. Maybe we can bring this up another time, but maybe that's what that whole NIL thing was about. It's like, hey, we got to go buy a quarterback. Let's go help me out a little bit.
That's right.
Boys, great stuff.
Thank you.
Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm out after today. You guys have a great week and a great Thanksgiving. Same to everybody listening. We got Monday Night Football coming your way next up here on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.